That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
Lafondra looking to get onside of Font. Lafondra away from David. 3-1 Reading. 3 points Reading.
Hello and welcome to Elm Park Royals, a very special podcast about Reading FC. Supported, of course, by our friends at Blue Collar. Make sure you check them out. I'm Jessica Charman, joined today by two different friends, a three lineup that maybe you wouldn't expect to see, Alex and Dom Curtis. Alex, how are you doing today?
I'm doing okay. I had a little bit of a nightmare last night getting home. My car broke down after I left the ground, so I didn't get back until sometime around 2 a.m. But it was kind of a way to top off what was a pretty turgid evening, to be honest. So
I really hope that's not an omen for Reading Football Club stuff to come, quite frankly. It's not a good sign. Dom, how are you doing today?
Yeah, all good, thank you. I was at the game last night and it was a long trip back up to London for me.
Oof. Yeah, we don't like that commute. Not quite as long as commuting from America, but I give you guys props for doing that. Let's start, as always, with the good, the bad, and the injured. Obviously, a 1-0 loss for Reading FC. Sometimes difficult to dig and find the good, but Alex, come on, there's got to be some good in there, surely.
We did create a little bit last night. Like, so compared to some of our recent away games when we really have created literally zero, we did at least create some chances last night to and look like maybe scoring. We defended quite well, whether that was down to Sheffield United's inadequacies, I'm not really sure. But like, I think we played better. Whether we played well or not is maybe up for debate. The injured, obviously, we've got Mate and bad. Yeah, we still can't score, can we?
No, it's frustrating when you're shut out. We had opportunities, like you say. I really like Tom McIntyre. I thought that he, as a holding defensive mid, is looking okay. Dom, what did you think? Good, bad, injured? Anything stand out for you?
Well, yeah, in the good, we created a lot of chances in throughout the game. I mean, we did look a bit threatening at times, but yeah, again, the bad, we still can't score a goal. I mean, another defeat to nil. Again, it's just not looking good. And injured, Mate, it's about 4 weeks he's out now, which isn't great. I mean, we do have options, though. Lucas Jao is now back from injury, though. So it's looking up, but it is a shame that Mate is injured.
Now, looking from the outside in, obviously, I live in America, so I'm watching on Reading Player. Not exactly ideal. Atmosphere. Looked quite quiet, looked quite empty. Understandable for a midweek game. Alex, how did it feel in the stadium?
It was quite quiet, I think. It wasn't as quiet as it has been for some of those midweek games, but I think there was just, there's a lot of apathy around, especially around last night's game. There was a lot of apathy and a lot of kind of expectation that we were going to lose anyway. And I don't really feel like people were particularly looking forward to the game. I think a lot of people were probably there out of blind loyalty, like myself, and the atmosphere kind of suffers for it at points. It wasn't horrendous as an atmosphere, but it was, I think it was just a bit maybe quiet.
Dom, did you have any moments that got you off your feet in the game? Was there at least a couple of happy moments in the game?
Not a lot. I mean, throughout the game, well, being San 8 and 71, as always, I mean, it has been more lively all the time, but it just wasn't there last night. You had a few little bits, but not a lot.
I will say that the refereeing probably added to the atmosphere, because the Reading fans definitely kind of got behind the fact that the refereeing wasn't particularly good yesterday.
There's one thing we can count on, it's that we're going to get inspired by a terrible referee, right?
Exactly.
Definitely.
All right, let's look back on the game. First 45 minutes. I think we started better than maybe we had expected. Alex, you alluded to the fact that a lot of us were going into this one, seeing where the other team were in the table, thinking, okay, this is going to be a tough one. How did you feel after that first 45 minutes going into halftime at 0-0?
I think we played better than I expected, certainly. It felt like we had kind of created some chances without actually ever really threatening the goal, particularly. I think the Tom Ince chance when he dragged it just wide inside the box was probably our best chance. And it wasn't a particularly good chance, all that being said, but it did feel like we were maybe kind of the better team just without necessarily ever really being on top. I think Sheffield United were pretty poor in the first half, though. Like, really sloppy passing. They never really looked... I mean, I can't remember any particularly big chances that they created in that first half. And it felt like we didn't really have to be playing amazingly well to be at the point of getting to half-time when it was 0-0. And it was, you know, at half-time, 0-0 at home to Sheffield United was better than anybody would have expected us to be at. So I didn't really have any complaints in the first half, but also it felt like we would have had to step it up another level if we were going to be able to match them in the second half.
Don, what did you feel after that half time? Did you think that Reading FC was the better team without, as Alex said, playing particularly well?
Yeah, I thought we looked okay in that first half. I mean, especially when you're comparing it to Middlesbrough at the weekend, it's definitely a step.
Doesn't take much.
No, it doesn't take much, but it is a step up and in the right direction. And we did look okay. We were able to stop Sheffield United in their attacks at times. They didn't really seem threatening by their one chance near the end of the half with Lumley making a good save. But I thought first half we did play okay.
How concerning, Alex, is it to you that when we get an opportunity against one of these bigger, higher flying sides that maybe wasn't on the best form, we know Sheffield United was struggling in the league before coming into this game, that we weren't able to capitalise on them underperforming at home to sort of make a statement early on in the game in front of your home fans?
Yeah, it's frustrating because when you look at the fact that, as you say, Sheffield United haven't played well away from home. I know they're in second place, but I think that might have been their first victory away from home in 2023. They weren't playing well, and it wasn't a case of Reading were dominating the game and then putting in a fantastic performance. So to not actually be able to capitalise and create opportunities and go ahead in that game, it just puts you at such... it puts your defence, especially under such pressure in the second half, because you just don't think that a high-flying team is going to put in two bad halves in a row. And, I mean, Sheffield United weren't great in the second half either particularly, but they just had that one moment of quality in the second half, which they just didn't in the first half. And it just feels like you've got to try and take the game a little bit more to them, even if they are a team which is higher in the league, especially after you start relatively strongly against them. I think you've got to use it as a bit more of a springboard in that first half and try and push on and make them worried about you a bit more.
And we'll dig deeper into the lineups and decisions that were made in terms of game tactics later on. But let's get into the second half. Reading FC, we know, have struggled coming out of breaks, maybe struggling out of that halftime talk to get things started. It was Reading that seemed to get off again to a slightly quicker start. Ince was the character that had the shot from distance going wide. What did you make overall of Tom Ince? I know he's a bit of a divisive character in terms of his body language, Dom.
Yeah, well, it depends what day of the mood it is with Ince. I mean, sometimes he could be one of the best players on the pitch for us. Other times, if it's not going his way in the game, he throws them tantrums at times.
The tantrum he had at the end of the first half when he got booked was a bit... it was very Tom Ince, like, you know, stereotypical Tom Ince, wasn't it?
Do we say like father, like son a little bit with his characterism sometimes?
Yeah, I mean, a little bit, right? He kind of leaves it all out on the field, whether he should or shouldn't. It all gets left on the field, kind of similar to Paul Ince at times, I guess. The yellow card was a bit... it was just a little bit petty, really. But it was very Tom Ince kind of character.
So Tom Ince gets that booking, has the shot from distance. We kind of don't create anything else. And then the tactic to try and keep a 0-0 goes in the potty and we can see the goal. What did you see from the goal, Alex, looking back at it?
It's another goal where, I mean, Dom and I were discussing it just before we started, and it's another goal where we've lost the ball relatively deep in our own, like, you know, in our own half, and Guinness Walker loses the ball. The ball gets played to, you know, played in behind Guinness Walker and Saar. Dan loses the man. It feels like it's just another goal I don't know how many goals we've conceded this season, which should have been cutbacks from, you know, fight and then get tapped in from 5 yards. It just feels like the same goal we've seen 30 times this season, watching Reading. And I feel like it's one of those goals where you can just put little bits of blame on so many people again. Guinness Walker losing the ball. Saar has maybe not covered him where Guinness Walker has pushed forwards there. Dan is very slow to react and loses his man. I don't think Lumley covers himself in that much glory. I don't know how much more he can do, but you probably can offer a little bit more expertise there, Jess, in terms of him as a goalkeeper. I don't think he does particularly well to try and stop the cross.
No, I think with Lumley, what's so frustrating as you, and it's the whole defence really, as you've said, this is a repetitive style of goal, right? We've conceded goals like this week in, week out with the cutback, and you'd wonder, what are they working on in practice? It's not that hard of a thing to imitate in terms of cuts across your 6 yard box, picking up players. Lumley gets sort of caught in no man's land, which seems to be the case in a lot of his goals, where he thinks he's going to come and then he's rooted in the spot and then he can't cover that cutout and then he's just stuck at the near post. And I think it's frustrating to see. Dom, what did you feel about the goal?
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely avoidable. I mean, with Guinness Walker giving away on that left side, him and Saar being out of position, it was just too easy to get through for McBurnie to make that run. And Lumley, he always gets caught in two minds. We've seen this before. I mean, especially before he even came to Reading, there was videos of his fails that he's already that has happened with him. So you can see that he always does get caught in these two minds, as always. And it's annoying as a fan because you're like, oh, we can try and sort this out. I mean, you can work it in practice and everything, but just in the game, he just can't get the hang of it.
How much of it do we think it's down to the players, though, and how much of it is tactics and lack of practice? Because it does feel like if you're doing enough reps in practice, you should be preventing these. Maybe not the first mistake by Guinness Walker, but the recovery should be there. It feels like they don't know what to do when S hits the fan, you know?
I feel like so much of this comes down to the fact that we don't really have a settled defence. Even now, we still don't have one. I mean, I think this was, what, Holmes' second game back since his injury. Guinness Walker's been thrown in at left back again. He's been in and out of the squad all season. Saar has played, you know, bits and pieces when he hasn't been injured. There has never really been a truly settled back five with five competent defenders all year. I agree they should be at a point where they can, you know, cut this kind of goal to a minimum at this point. But it also feels like if Paul Ince keeps making changes to the team every week, last week in Benguet played, this week he doesn't play. If you keep making changes to the defence every single week, then inevitably you're going to end up with a case where if the player pushes forwards, like Guinness Walker had there, and then loses the ball, the chemistry isn't necessarily there between the wing back and the wide centre back to be able to cover him straight away.
I think that's schoolboy stuff, isn't it? We talk about consistency in lineups, and you see rotation in wingers, rotation in midfielders, forwards can sometimes work. But when it comes to the back line, you want to see stability. You want to understand how each other plays. And I think we've been missing stability through injury, but not just through injury, but through rotation from our manager. Dom, how much do you think that rotation and lack of cohesion and predictability in the lineup is affecting this Reading FC back line?
Yeah, I think it's affecting us a lot, really. I mean, you've seen teams like Sheffield United, they were very compact at the back with their five at the back yesterday and throughout the season. That's why they're competing at the top and near the top. And they've kept the same back line with Egan and Basham. They might have one rotating, their third centre back. I can't name the name right now. But they do always keep the same three at the back. And you can see that it does work. And they just need Reading need to find out which three are the best. I know injuries do happen, but finding those three to keep that consistent back line will help a lot with our team.
I will say, I don't actually think the defence played badly last night, particularly. And so much of us, like, we're talking about the defence here, obviously, and the fact that they've conceded a goal to basically, we've lost the game due to that one moment. But also, when you're putting that much pressure on the defence and a goalkeeper to keep a clean sheet every single game because we can't score, inevitably you're going to concede goals. It's football, that happens, right? You can't expect your defence and your goalkeeper to keep a clean sheet 70% of the time if you can't score goals. So if we don't create at the other end of the field, it feels like they can have a perfect game, make one mistake, and then they're the villains of the piece, which doesn't seem fair on them, and it doesn't really seem particularly like it criticizes the other end of the field enough.
And I think it's unhealthy for the defensive mindset as well. I've played on teams where you're expected to not concede, and you just feel this another level of pressure on you, because you know if you make a mistake, you know if you concede, it's pretty much game over because you can't rely on your forwards. So I think that puts a heightened level of pressure on. And maybe part of that is the mindset of these guys, why they feel that high pressure while they're making, you know, one or two schoolboy mistakes consistently, because they have this pressure on their shoulders and it's very difficult for them. Dom, do you feel like these players are playing with pressure on them a little bit defensively?
Oh, definitely. I mean, the amount of goals we've conceded this year, it's always going to be in the back of their head, like, we've seen when we've conceded one, the gates do open for more. We saw that on Saturday with Middlesbrough. They got the first through the penalty. City scoring mistake by Mbeng for the second one there. But, and then second half, it was just open. The players looked like they gave up at times, waving the white flag. And luckily, we didn't see that yesterday. They showed a bit of determination yesterday. And it helped us a lot. I mean, I expect them going into the game again 3-4-0 potentially against Sheffield United side. So they definitely do play under the pressure, mostly because of how the season's gone already.
And I think with us going forwards, we did have more opportunities. You said we didn't wave the white flag as much today. There was an opportunity from Yeardom and a Carroll header that, okay, it was a good save from the goalkeeper, but the delivery from Guinness Walker, the movement off the ball from Carroll looked like Andy Carroll from 5-6 years ago. Alex, what did you make of that Carroll chance?
The cross, as you say, the cross from Guinness Walker on this chance was pinpoint. Carroll couldn't have asked for it to come to any better. And actually, Carroll's the one who lays it off to Guinness Walker in the first place. Mm-hmm. So yeah, the movement from Carroll was really good for that chance. And unfortunately, the header is probably the weakest part of the move, because he's headed it straight at the keeper. Anywhere else on the goal, and like, it's 1-1. Really frustrating, because the actual move was really good.
Keeper made a decent save, right, Dom? It wasn't just a poor header, it was a good save.
Yeah, it was definitely a good save from the keeper. But anywhere else in the goal, I think that does go in. The power Andy's got on that, from that delivery from Guinness, I mean, anywhere else it goes in and it's 1-1, and potentially we take the point because that was in the last few minutes of the game. But yeah, he has made a great save there.
We would be amiss not to mention the refereeing. As you mentioned earlier on, Alex, there was some booing. There was, and I'll let you guys off because you're in the atmosphere, there was some talk on the broadcast of a long penalty. I'm not sure. They said on the commentary that Long went down a little soft. Is Long beginning to get a reputation in this league? And is Ince's comments about referees getting into the referees' heads and not wanting to make these soft calls again in favour of Reading, Alex?
Shane Long he's definitely got a reputation, doesn't he? He looks for penalties basically every time he's in the box. And I don't think there's anything wrong with it particularly, but also, like, as a fan base, we have to accept he's not going to win them all. I'll be honest, I can't really think that yesterday's claim was a penalty. I don't think it was, like, super harsh not to be given. I think the refereeing overall yesterday wasn't great, but I don't think the referee was good for either team. It just so happened that, you know, I think we probably had a few more of the weirder decisions go against us. In terms of Ince's comments, I don't know. I think him blaming the referee refereeing every week probably doesn't help, because it, like, subconsciously referees must be coming into games, right, Dom? Thinking, I'm not going to give a penalty to Reading. I'm not going to give decisions to Reading unless they're obvious, right?
Yeah,
I mean, with Paul saying that, I mean, we don't know if the referees even listen to this after the games all the time, but it can sway them a lot. I'm from a neutral point of view, it does seem like it for us not getting these calls, especially the one against Middlesbrough at the weekend. I mean, pretty much for me, that's a clear penalty for us and potentially a red card. But it just doesn't go our way recently with referees. And we could be getting these penalties. We could get all these calls, but that's life in the Championship. Bad refereeing.
Would you rather have VAR though? Because I don't think I'd rather have VAR. I don't know.
No, I don't think I'd want VAR in here. I mean, just how it slows down the game. We've seen it in Prem still. It does slow down the game, and some of the calls will go against us as well. I mean, there's been plenty this season that we've been lucky with. I mean, so there's the good and bad as always with VAR.
Yeah, I can't say I'm a big proponent to have VAR in the Championship. And it, like, as much as we, you know, Reading fans can say we've, you know, not had the rub of the green this year in terms of penalties and decisions for us and stuff, we've had the most penalties given to us this season in the Championship. So it's all well and good complaining about refereeing, but we are getting a lot of penalties compared to other teams. It's not, you know, it's not a conspiracy against us. I mean, we've had eight, and then lots of teams have had, you know, one or two or three. So it's not a conspiracy. I think it's
just...
You
might need to share that stat a little bit more to encourage more Reading FC fans to get on your wavelength. Because I think I forget that too, to be fair. But alas, we have a big moment in this game, which maybe shouldn't be a big moment, with Liam Moore re-entering the pitch after 400 and something days, I think they said, on BBC Barks. We have a listener question relating to this topic from Dan. Let's see what Dan had to say to us.
Another loss, but not quite as disappointing as the one at Middlesbrough. I just wanted to get your guys' thoughts on the booing of Liam Moore. As much as I'm not his biggest fan, it seems a little bit much from the Reading fans. I was also quite surprised to hear Paul Lynch say the lads are really upset because they lost at home. Seems a weird choice of words when they should be upset whenever they lose. But yeah, keen to get your thoughts.
Let's start with the booing of Liam Moore first. It was audible even on the TV, which means it must have been somewhat loud in the Mad Stad. Alex, what did you think?
It was mixed, I think. There was definitely booing 100% when he came on. There was scattered applause, probably more booing, I guess. It's a really weird subject, I think, Liam Moore, at this point, because the situation has gone on, as you say, whatever it is, 450 days or something ridiculous by now. I'm just kind of, it's just a circus. The whole thing is just a bit like ridiculous. It's difficult to kind of have any strong feeling, or at least myself, I feel very difficult to have any strong feelings either way anymore at this point, because we all know he's leaving in summer anyway. So I just don't really care that much if he plays or not. If he plays and he's good, then great. If he doesn't play, it doesn't really feel like we're losing anything. I kind of understand why people want to boo him. If, you know, if you don't like him, that's kind of your call and your choice. And I get it. I think that booing him every time he touched the ball was maybe a little much.
Yeah, that felt like, and we're losing 1-0. We kind of need him to do something, right?
Yeah, we were saying that when he came on, like, what are people going to do if he scores? Like, not celebrate, boo? Like, it was a bit odd. Every time he touched the ball, I thought, I kind of understood it when he came on, that he would probably get some kind of a negative reaction from some people. Ultimately, I think my view is basically, if he's more mobile than Scott Dan, isn't he? So, I mean, I'd play him if only for that point now.
Dom, feelings on the booing?
Yeah, well, I mean, I was being neutral with it. I mean, I'm more towards a dislike of him, mostly because of what he said about a few years ago, saying he wants to drive away from Reading and start somewhere else, which every player is entitled to. But I mean, that was 2-3 years ago now, and he's still one of our highest like paid players at the club. I mean, obviously it doesn't help with our financial situation at the moment, with him still being on our wage bill. But I feel every time he touched the ball, like Alex said, it was unnecessary at times. And people were going to have their opinions. I mean, people I was standing with, some of them were saying, oh, Judas, it's about him. Everyone's entitled to their opinion about him. But if he does the job, he does the job for us. I mean, we need to be more stable in that back line. If he offers that, I'll welcome him back in the team. But he will have to earn the respect for a lot of fans.
But it is going to be such an interesting scenario if he does keep getting these cameo performances and eventually puts one in the back of the net. How does he celebrate that goal? Do you know what I mean? Like, do you not think about what would you do in a situation? You know what I mean?
It's got to be a Matt Mills celebration, doesn't it? Like, just turn around and just, you know, flick everybody off. The other thing is, like you say, if he keeps getting cameo appearances, what do people do? Do you just keep up this level of anger towards him for the rest of the season? Like, what happens if he does something good? Do you not applaud? Do you just boo him anyway? I don't know. It's such a weird scenario.
I'm hoping this was a one-off. Get it out your system. You've made your statement. Everyone's heard you booing. He's heard you booing. He knows you don't like him. Now let's just move on. Wouldn't that be what you would do, Dom? Move on?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, he has suffered enough of his injuries throughout the near 2 years he's been out injured. And he has tried everything to get back and play for the club and get his football career back on the go. So, yeah, get out of your system with this one game. And then after this, try and drop it when you can. And just get behind the whole team, because it will affect the whole team hearing all the boos throughout the game if it happens what happened last night carries on.
I will say the situation is very boring by this point, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's why I didn't want to give it too much airtime. So we'll move on to Dan's second question about the emotions of this team and being very upset that they lost at home. How do you feel about that, Alex? Shouldn't they be more upset when they get spanked? You know what I'm saying? Like,
I'm much more upset when they lose away from home, because inevitably there's a 4-hour drive on the back end of it still. I don't know about them, but that drives me up the wall. I think it's just another appalling, weird choice of words more than anything. I'm sure they're upset when they lose away and when they lose at home. It's just appalling. I don't think he's very good at media interviews.
He needs a media training. Like, the club, I know we don't have very much money to invest right now, but it would be a smart move to invest in some media training for the way he comes out after team talks, because the mixed messages he sends week in, week out are just confusing as a fan, as a player. Dom, do you think it's kind of weird if it's true? Let's just hypothetically say it's completely true and the players are really bummed because they lost at home. Do you think that's a problem, that they're more bothered about losing that way than maybe losing in a game where they didn't show any sort of fight?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, obviously, we do have this good home record this season and they want to keep it up. And I feel like their players in their head, they were like, look, we're going to get more points at home this year. We've seen it in our away performances, 1-5-0 and what, 3-4-0s now. And the performances aren't their way, but they are at home. So the players in their head psychologically will be thinking everything about, that's why they're more upset at home. But they should be upset when we're losing 5-0 to Middlesbrough. They should be getting they should be disappointed at that even more so than losing 1-0 to second in the table, I believe.
I'll tell you something. As fans, we're disappointed whenever we lose, while we're on the course of the manager. What did we think of Paul Ince's game plan, substitutions? How do you rate the manager for his performance yesterday, Alex?
It's just a standard Paul Ince game. It's just a standard Paul Ince. Like, I don't know what the substitutions were about. Like, bringing Zhao on to replace Long doesn't make any sense to me. They're completely different players. And as soon as you brought Zhao on, you had nobody going in behind. Taking Guinness Walker off, who's your best crosser of the ball. Why? Like, again, just doesn't make any sense. The starting tactic, I guess, of playing five at the back, it makes sense. Like, I'm not going to criticise it too much. It's not exactly what anybody wants to go and watch, but it made sense. It was kind of effective, even if not necessarily entertaining. But it just felt like I think it was a game and a performance that Paul Ince will watch. And I mean, I listened to his press conference this morning, and it was a game and a performance which I think he's going to be happy with, even though we've lost. Because the game has played out exactly how he wants it to play out, in the sense of it's close, we've kept ourselves in the game, and they've won it through a moment of quality. Whereas in reality, I feel like we sat there and we watched 90 minutes of that game And I never really felt like Reading were going to win. Yeah. Even at 0-0, I never felt like Reading were able to ever take the lead and then go on and win that game. But I feel like Paul Ince was quite happy with that performance. I feel like actually that game mirrors probably, maybe not every away game I've watched this season, but a significant proportion of the games where the whole game plan is to just try and keep it to 0-0 and steal a point. And I think that's probably one of the first times we've seen that happen at home, where we've just kind of sat there and let a team win without necessarily playing that well.
Feels weird to do that on your home turf, though, that negative attitude. Sometimes you understand it on the road. At home, just feels that little bit more sore. Dom, what did you think of the tactics in this game?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I couldn't see us winning at all. Like, the Andy Carroll chance was the best chance we had in the whole game, and it came out of nowhere from Guinness Walker's cross. I mean, we was always in those positions up in the flanks. So it was just a classic Paul Ince performance. And the substitutions, I feel like they should be made a bit earlier as well. They were in the back end of the game as well. So try and change it up. Get in early, make some more subs early doors, and we might have more of a chance.
It's players like Cassidy. Why bring Cassidy on with 2 minutes to go? He's probably the most creative midfielder we've got, and you're bringing him on with 2 minutes to go when 1-0 down. It just doesn't make any sense, right?
You're going to utilise subs. You have to set them up for success by giving them time to have an impact. You know how it is, even in Sunday League, right? It takes 2-3 minutes to get your body into the game and running. If you've only got 2 minutes, it's rubbish. So I just think that Ince is a frustrating, divisive figure. Alex, we're not going to make a change though anytime soon, are we?
No, he's not in the relegation zone. The owner was there last night, and I mean, he's watched it. He knows that we're not in the relegation zone. I just don't see anything changing until summer at the very earliest. And even now, I mean, it feels like more of a proportion of the fan base. I don't know if it's yet over 50%, but certainly there's certainly a big number of people and a growing number of people who think that Ince should change, or we should change from Ince in the summer. But at the moment, I don't know if it's going to happen. I really don't. I think that the owner might just kind of let it slide and let him go into next season still.
It's going to be hard to get used to these tactics for another season. Boys, before we put Sheffield United, our 1-0 defeat to bed, any final thoughts on this match?
I mean, hopefully more people come out to these midweek games, but I can see why people have stopped, because our midweek form at home just feels abysmal even now. I can remember so many of these midweek games where it's just cold and miserable, and it seems to always be against Sheffield United. And there was a game, I don't know when it was, 2018, 2019, -6. And we lost 2-0, 3-0 to Sheffield United. And Sheffield United just seemed like a team which we're just never going to beat at home. I think that's 7 losses in a row now.
Final thoughts, Dom? Anything else that you'd like to hit?
I think we've kind of wrapped it all up. I mean, yeah, I've got nothing else to add.
All right, then. For Dom, Alex, I've been Jessica Charman. Thank you for listening to Elm Park Royals. Keep an eye out for the preview coming up towards the end of the week as we get on to face Millwall. Let's hope it's a more positive result. Thank you for joining us on Elm Park Royals.